Hussein alayhi salam is the most superior soil, and this is the soil which is chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we do the sajda on this turbat, we have authentic narration informing us that السجود على تربة الحسين يخرق الحجب السبع. That means sajda on the turbat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam rips apart the seven curtains. So we have seven curtains between us and Allah, isn't it right? So all those seven curtains are ripped apart if you do the sajda on the turbat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So that's the most superior soil. So, and then we find Imam alayhi salam said that this, he is baqiyat of Allah and the hujjat of Allah after me. That's the incident of the birth of the Imam. Now, his imamat spans on 20 years. 17 of those 20 were spent in the city of Medina. And the last 3 years of his life were spent in the province of Tus, located in the city of Marv, which is right now in Turkmenistan. In those days, it used to be part of the Muslim empire of Harun and Mamun, la'natullah alayhima. So we find that Imam was spending his last 3 years in Tus, which are full of barakat, just like his earlier 17 years. But specifically during the last 3 years when Mamun invited him forcibly, we find that he gathered 33,000 scholars from all over the Muslim empire of Mamun. After gathering all those scholars of Islam from various sects, he asked them to help him choose the Waliyul Ahad, that means the second to the throne, the heir to the throne. And they agreed. This huge number of people present in the Darbar of Mamun agreed over the personality of Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam. So the question arises, and that has been posed from Shaheed Mutahhari rahmatullah alayh, that if we were there, see, Mamun al-Rashid is a person who grabs power by using or misusing the name of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and then saying that, you know, then killing Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam later on. So he's using the name of Ahlul Bayt and comes into power. And he gathers 33,000 scholars from all over the Islamic world. And in front of the scholars, he proved himself. Shaykh Mutahhari says he himself proved that Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam is the best of all and the most suitable of all and afdal and most superior among all in the Islamic Ummah and a'bad and the best of the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he proved to the gathering that Imam Ali alayhi salam was rightful to be the Khalifa after the Holy Prophet. The same Mamun al-Rashid who is ready to prove in front of 33,000 Islamic scholars that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the rightful Khalifa and deputy of the Holy Prophet supposed to rule, but he himself is occupying the power and the seat of rule and not allowing the Imam of his time to rule. Isn't that a hypocrisy? So he claims to be a Shia, coming into power by misusing the name of Ahlul Bayt, fooling the masses with his propaganda and machinery, and people get fooled, the simple-minded, not the pious. Remember, the Muttaqi people never got fooled throughout the history. Anybody who gets fooled must understand he is lacking taqwa. So these people have been deceiving the simple-minded, taqwa lacking people of the history and running their business and fortune, sometimes using the names of Ahlul Bayt and coming into power and claiming to a follower of Imam Ali proving the imamate of Imam Ali Islam, but still following the Imam of his time, giving hard time to the Imam of his time. So it's our responsibility, brothers and sisters, that we need to put ourselves in the place of Mamun Rashid. And see, if we were present in that time, and we also believe in the Imam Ali Islam is the rightful Khalifa, is that what distinguishes us between us and those who were proving the same thing in back then? That's not the only distinguishing factor. But are we ready to give the seat of power to Imam Mahdi al-Salam if we had the power? How many of the people are ready to give the seat of power to the deputy of Imam Mahdi al-Salam? How many of the people are even ready to even digest the phenomena of Walayatul Faqih? How many of the people are even ready to digest the phenomena of the rule of the conditions fulfilling Mujtahid? So when we are not even ready to digest that, how can you expect the people to digest, to buy, to accept the Walayat of the Imam of their time? And not just that, if you are ruling, let's suppose for a moment, you are the one who is ruling. And you are you ready, if you are ruling, are you willing to surrender the government that you have to the Imam of your time? That's a very hard test. So this is how we need to test ourselves. Just like our scholars say, if you happen to be standing in the crowd when Prophet received his first revelation and he's coming down from the cave of Hira, receiving the first ever revelation coming from Jibreel, and when Allah commanded him to start his propagation openly, and now Prophet is preaching in front of the mushrikeen of Makkah and asking them to accept the Tawheed. So basically they need to abandon their customs and traditions and cultural practices. If we were there standing in the same crowd in the audience of the Prophet, were we ready to accept the command of the Prophet at that time and give up all the customs and traditions that we are practicing today? How many people are ready to give up the cultural additives and customs that they think to be part of Islam and they are ready to change? If sometimes we sit down and start making a list of those of the customs that we have imitated and adopted from the other side of the border of the Pakistan, how many of the customs the Pakistani community and the community from India has adopted from the non-Muslims? People will feel bad if we make a list in front of them and start talking about that. How many people are ready to give up their cultural practices? Our cultures are the ones which are backfiring us. And that's what is repelling the people. Because you can never inspire a person belonging to another culture to start following your customs and traditions which are based on your culture. If your practice was based on the Islamic values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, which are in sync with the human fitrat and instinct, and the human logic, then everybody who shares the same logic and instinct, which every human does share that with us, as soon as the piles of desires are removed from our intellect, you'll find the people get inspired. So it's an agenda, brothers and sisters, for us to deculturalize our centers. We need to deculturalize our centers. We don't need to find that this, you know, we have various centers from various denominations and ethnic communities. We don't want to have any center belonging to an ethnic community. We need to have a center that belongs to Islam. So we don't want to see that this is a Pakistani center, and this is an Indian center, and that's a Lebanese center, and this one is an Iranian center, and this one is a Khoja center, and that one is an Iraqi center. Where is the Islamic center? We need to have an Islamic center where everybody is treated in the same way and the superiority belongs to taqwa, and no custom of any country is implemented in any center. Instead, the values of Ahlul Bayt are installed and established equally by all. That's how you can attract the people. That's how you can retain your own children on the road. You can never retain your children by practicing your cultures and traditions. Man dakhla fi hadha ad-din bir-rijal akhraja minhu ar-rijal. Whoever enters into this religion by listening to things from some people, then this guy, this son, this daughter can always be taken out of the limits of Islam by if he or she listens to somebody else. When your religion is based on hearsay, I heard from my grandmom, my mother, my father, isn't that right? I heard from my community. That's not the reason, that's not the convincing evidence. We need to have evidences for what we believe. Instead of applying our intellects on the furu'd-deen matters and ahkam of the sharia, that's how some people are. Instead of applying the logic and concrete evidences on the usul-deen, the guy is blank, he's a blank slate. You ask him about one evidence on the Imamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he has no information whatsoever. When it comes to Allah was asking you to use your intellect for the Surah Deen, roots of the religion, that's where the intellect was supposed to be used to begin with. Now the guy is using his intellect in the Furud Deen, the ahkam and rulings of the religion, then the practical laws of the sharia that came from the unseeable world. You were never supposed to use your intellect in the practical laws. Who asked you to use your intellect so you can end up saying this hukum of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam? It's true that Imam alayhi salam has said that, but you know what? That doesn't make sense to me. Who in the world asked you to use your level of sense to challenge the hukum of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who belongs to the world of ghayb? Who gave you the license to use your intellect in the rulings of the sharia? Do you belong to the level of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam? That's how some people are. Where we are supposed to do the taqleed of the conditions fulfilling mujtahid, we are using our intellect wrongfully. And where we were supposed to use the intellect, the guy is a blank slate. Zero evidence about Amir al-Mu'mineen Walayat. You do a referendum and go to Islamic centers in America. How many of the Shia youth have any evidence about why in the world do we believe in 124,000 prophets? How many of our youth, our daughters and sons have the answer, logical answers, logical or narrated evidences why we believe in 124,000 prophets? Isn't that right? So look at the status of the religion, then we are waiting for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Okay, this is so far, we're standing so far from the goal. So far, this is the basic stuff. Then you reach the age of Islamic maturity, that's what we are supposed to do. Right in the beginning. So we find Imam alayhi salam was killed by Mamun Rashid, who used to prove the walayat of Imam Ali in front of 33,000 people, scholars from all over, but he's still ready to kill him. So if we were there having such a huge empire like that of Mamun Rashid, which used to include Azerbaijan, parts of Turkmenistan and Kazakhstan Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan and Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq and Saudi Arabia and Yemen and Oman and Kuwait and UAE and Syria and Lebanon and Egypt and Libya and Tunisia and Morocco. This is a whole huge empire of Mamun Rashid. Just imagine for a moment. Such a huge empire, and claiming that he believes in Imam Ali alayhi salam's imamat and walayat to be the rightful first khalifa of the Prophet, but not ready to give the government in his own time to the imam of his time. So this is how we also need to analyze, as we are discussing Imam Ridha alayhi salam's personality, what went wrong? Our imams were infallible. Why were they killed and persecuted? Because of the love of dunya the people had. And the same problem is still faced by the humanity today. So now we find that the ibadat, the worship of Imam Ridha alayhi salam was such, Harun himself, Mamun himself had confessed that he is the most worshipping person. This is the staunch enemy of Imam Ridha alayhi salam to be assassin of Imam is accepting that. When Imam Ridha alayhi salam gave his abba, this is called abba. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. When Imam Ridha alayhi salam avoided Bi'bal al-Khuza'i after he recited his famous Qasida Madaris al-Ayat in front of the Imam. Imam gave him 200 dinar. Imam gave him, 100 dinars. 100 dirhams, as far as I remember. I may be mistaken. Each of those dirhams were purchased by the people from him for 100 dinars. I don't remember the exact number. I don't want to misquote here. So, and also, Imam alayhi salam, the point I wanted to make, Imam awarded him an aba, one aba of his. And he said to Bi'bal, as we are discussing the ibadat of the Imam, that value this aba, because for 1,000 nights, Imam alayhi salam, in other words, had prayed for 1,000 nights in a row during that aba, and in each of those 1,000 nights, he did 1,000 rakats of prayers. Look at the nuraniyat. Everything that belongs to Ahlul Bayt has nuraniyat. So, this is the ibadat of the Imam that we are talking about. And we find that as the tawadhu of the Imam was such that he never used to cut off a person when he's talking, sitting with the servants and the slaves and eating food. And he said, إِنَّ الرَّبَّ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَاحِدْ, the Lord is one, وَالْأَبْ وَاحِدْ وَالْأُمْ وَاحِدَ, and the father is one and the mother is one, وَالْجَزَاءُ بِالْأَعْمَالِ, and the rewarding is through the actions. So whoever has more taqwa, in other words, is going to be rewarded most. So he's ready to sit with the servants and slaves. There's no caste system. There's no, tabaqat in Islam, the classes in the society. When Imam Mahdi al-Islam would appear, the caste system will totally be eradicated, almost totally. So entire humanity will be almost at the same financial level. That's our goal. We are pursuing that goal. So we do not want the class system to exist in the Islamic societies. That he belongs to an upper class and this guy belongs to the middle class and this poor guy belongs to the low slum district. There's nothing like that in Islam. Everybody has to be almost on the same level. That's how we need to eradicate this thinking. This money is the one that makes us arrogant. Is it alright? Prophet Isa prayed to Allah, one of the five great messengers, that give me one loaf of bread, one bread in the morning, and one bread in the evening. Well, and don't give me more for atgha, otherwise I'm going to rebel. So Prophet Isa is saying to Allah, if you give me more than a bread in the morning and a bread in the evening, if you give me more, I am going to rebel against you. This is Prophet Jesus, one of the five greatest messengers of Allah. So who are we? And where do we stand? So we must understand that we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to give us the wealth unless and until we have the taharat. If you get the wealth without the taharat, so hota ye hai ki jab paisa mera hai to deen bhi mera chalega. The people who get money, that's exactly what they're trying to say. Now that I made more money, so the guy is trying to invent a new religion. So in the presence and the ruins of Allah, he is inventing his own policies. Is it right? Constructing a center of $12 million at such and such place in North America, and ban on all those who talk about Yawm al-Quds. Isn't that inventing a new religion? It is equal to inventing a new religion, because you are making your own policies in the presence of the policies of Ahlul Bayt. Who gave you the license to make your own policy and implement it on something that we call a center, a masjid, the place of worship of God? We're not here to worship your opinions or your money. Why in the world should I accept you? Because you have more money than me? Or you have more knowledge than me? But that's the way some people are. So money makes you arrogant. So there are a whole bunch of people ahead of you who did the same thing, and they met their destiny where the money goes. Al-mal miras al-fara'ina. Then we learn from the hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam, wealth is the inheritance of the pharaohs. We all know where do the pharaohs go. So obviously, anybody who worships the money is going to go to the same destiny. The sahawat and generosity of our Imam is exemplary. We need to remember, these are role models for us. So the Ravi narrator says, we were there with Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and one guy showed up and he said, he was Ibn Sabil. Ibn Sabil in our Sharia, we call to the person who is in a trouble and he loses his money. So now he became broke. So Islam considers it a lot of sawab for any Muslim comes forward and he helps a person who is Ibn Sabil. And when you are a traveler, you lost your money, community must come forward to support you. So you can continue with your trip and go back to your home safely. He said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that I'm a well-off person, I'm a well-to-do person back home in my own home, but I lost my money. And if you please help me, I'm not a beggar. If you please help me, I will give the same amount of money when I reach home. I will give the money as sadaqah and charity in your proxy. Imam Ridha alayhi salam heard that. He stood up. He went inside his house and he grabbed some money, 200 dinars, and he extended his hand on top of the door of his house. And he called that person to come and grab the money and leave. The person came, he grabbed the money, and he left, as Imam had said. And said, Imam said to him, you don't need to necessarily give sadaqah. That means that's for you. You don't need to give sadaqah in others. When the guy left, Imam Ridha alayhi salam came out of his house, and these ashab, some of these people who were present in the gathering, they said to the Imam, that what was that format of going inside your house and then extending your hand from over the door and giving him the money? Why couldn't you just show up, come outside and give it to him? Imam said he didn't want to see the embarrassment on the face of that person. See, when you show up, you are present, physically present in front of somebody and you are helping him. Obviously, the guy will feel embarrassed because you are helping him in front of the people, isn't it right? So Imam is so generous that he's not ready to even see the embarrassment. And he said, didn't you hear the Prophet has said that hidden sadaqah, the hidden charity, equals to 70 hajj, 70 hajj. And the open sin causes insult. In other words, if somebody, and Allah forgives the hidden sin, if you perform a sin hiddenly and you do the tawbah, Allah forgives it. But if you do a sin openly, that's why in Islam we have specific stress on hijab. Isn't that right? And all those rulings which have a dual aspect. See, some of the rulings in Islam are personal in nature entirely. And first and certainly we have freedoms to do and not to do. But those are the rulings of Islam which are not entirely personal in nature. One aspect is personal, whereas the other aspect is social. And those are the rulings where there are dual aspects of the rulings. Nobody can be allowed to exercise their freedoms and damage the spirituality of others. So Islam does not allow a woman to expose her body in front of 100 people out there and possibly draw the people to look at her body and expose the body towards them so they may fall into harams and damage their spirituality. So hijab is not a personal ruling. You cannot say it's my personal matter. That's not your personal matter. Because it has dual aspects. One aspect is related to you and the other aspect is related to the entire society. You're not married to the society, are you? So when you're not married to the society, you cannot expose your body to others so that they get attracted to you. So that's the social aspect of the ruling. Whenever any harm is about to come in the way of the society, Islam is the first to stop the harms coming to the ummah and the society. So we can never allow anybody to harm the entire society. It has to be checked. It's not a personal issue at all. So we find that the hidden sadaqah equals to 70 hajj, 70. So you give the same $1 openly in front of the whole community, and you give the same $1 hiddenly. You can go, you can just walk into the hall of the Islamic Center, wherever is a productive center serving the walayat of Imam Alayhi Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. And his deputy. So when we walk to any center which supports the walayat of the Imam alayhi salam and his deputy, you can just go there and drop your dollars in the box. Isn't that right? No humans would know that you are the one who are dropping it. We didn't want to tell the humans. Isn't that right? We are not giving it for the sake of humans. This is an ibadat and worship. So when we are doing ibadat and worship, is between a slave and the Lord. It's between him and his Lord. No human can come. Can come in the middle. So no human can come in the middle. The one for whom you are giving the sadaqah is watching you. That's enough. So the same dollar you spend hiddenly for the sake of Allah, you are increasing the thawab equal to 70 hajj. The same dollar you give it straight away, you get the thawab tenfolds. Which is a better deed? So we harm ourselves when we start doing things against the commands of the Creator. We are harming our own selves. And I have written down here 8 of the evidences to educate my youth and others. 8 evidences for the fact that Imam Mahdi, Imam Ridha alayhi salam, was forced to accept becoming second to the throne and heir to the throne in Waliul Ahad. Second in charge after Mamun. So that this issue is very much obvious and clear in our minds, and we don't end up in any ambiguity about it. The first evidence, our scholars say, that Imam alayhi salam himself, they are in his own hadith. The first evidence is his own statements. We have plenty of ahadith from Imam Ridha alayhi salam himself, where he himself is mentioning how this position had been imposed upon him, and he is not pleased about that. So his own hadith and authentic traditions are the first evidence. The second evidence for that is that Imam established a Madlisul Azam, a gathering of mourning at the time when he was departing his hometown of Medina. Which is another evidence our scholars, our research scholars say, that Imam was not pleased to depart his hometown and to go to Mamun and for all what is going to happen there. All the wrongs that Mamun was going to do. Third of all, Imam was also crying, even from at Makkah. So Imam migrated from city of Medina towards Makkah, and he did his farewell tawaf of Kaaba. So when we are departing the holy Kaaba, we do the farewell tawaf. And at the time Imam was bidding farewell, and he came to Makkah, at that time he was also crying, which again is another documented evidence that Imam was not pleased with all this. The fourth evidence our scholars say is bidding farewell. Third one was the cry of Imam, and the fourth one is the farewell. He bid farewell to the house of God. Bidding farewell to the house of God, which shows how much sad he was on that occasion. fifth evidence was that the Imam did not accept it until he was threatened to death. Mamun Rashid actually threatened him to kill him, and that's where Imam accepted it. That was the situation of the Aham and Muhim thing. You know, we always go for what is more important and sacrifice what is less important. And sixth of all, the sixth evidence is that when he was forced by Mamun Rashid to accept this position, becoming second to the throne, Imam Rizal alayhi salam put the condition that he will not be a part of anything that Mamun Rashid is going to do in his government. So he is making himself away and distancing himself from all the zulm and wrongs that the government is of Mamun and his people are performing. So this again proves that he is not pleased with this position at all. And seventh of all, is the seventh evidence is the reason why Mamun Rashid stopped Imam Rizal alayhi salam from leading the Eid prayers. That's another evidence why Imam Rizal alayhi salam was not pleased about it. Just like I was talking last night about the Jumu'ah prayers, that Saddam Hussein la'natullah alayhi had more sense of the Shia religion than some of the Shias today. Because Saddam put a ban on Salatul Jumu'ah in the entire country of Iraq, because he knew if I allow the Jumu'ah prayers to take place, the second sermon is political in the Sharia of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So there will be people who are certainly going to talk against my government because second sermon in Islam is political. Period. So let's put a ban on the Salatul Jummah in the entire country. So you had more sense than some of the Shias who are still going and praying the Jummah prayers behind those of the people who do not perform the fariza in the second sermon, keeping the people blank about their al-fara'id al-siyasiyah, their political duties towards Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam and our preparation towards against the tawaghit. They are silent. And likewise, the second thing is the Eid prayers. The Mamun Rashid invited Imam Rizal alayhi salam and he refused. Because he knew who Mamun Rashid is and what he's going to do. Imam has the ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen. But then he was insisting on the Imam. So Imam accepted it with the condition that he's going to lead the Salatul Jum'ah in the Eid prayers in the same way how his grandfather, the Holy Prophet, used to lead. Imam, wearing the white clothes, came out of his house barefooted, raising his voice of takbir, Allahu Akbar, just like the Prophet used to raise. And people start walking behind the Imam. Gradually you find people coming out of the houses. إِنَّ الْكَلَامَ إِذَا خَرَجَ مِنَ الْقَلْبِ دَخَلَ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَإِذَا خَرَجَ مِنَ اللِّسَانِ لَمْ يَتَجَاوَزِ الْآذَانِ صَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Whenever a statement comes out of the heart, it penetrates into the heart. Whenever a talk comes out from the tongue, it does not penetrate farther than the ears. Certainly, Prophet said the truth and nothing but the truth. So if you are speaking from your qalb, from your heart, that's how you can inspire the people with the teachings, and the teachings are going to penetrate into the souls of the people. So when Imam is raising the voice of Allahu Akbar, it is penetrating into the hearts of all those who are alive. So people coming out of their houses, rushing out of their houses, raising the voice of Allahu Akbar behind the Imam. People coming out barefooted just to follow what Imam is doing. It's narrated in the history that even the soldiers of Mamun who were there to escort the Imam present there, they started to rip off the laces of their shoes, rip off the shoes with their bayonets and the knives or the swords and daggers. So they can just cut off the shoes and also start walking behind Imam just the way the rest of the people are doing. So they're not left out. Everybody walking barefooted. And finally, they discovered there's a huge crowd in the matter of minutes. Huge crowd is walking behind the Imam, constantly on the increase. And this advisor of Mamun rushed to him and said, "Are you silly? You allowed Imam Mullah alayhi salam to lead the Eid prayers like that? Obviously he's going to talk against your walayat and in the favor of his walayat. So you want your government to be toppled?" Just like we were talking about the Salatul Jumu'ah and Islam as a matter of principle, Salatul Eid is no different. In the second sermon, we have to talk about political matters and duties of Islam. Isn't that right? We don't go to those of the mosque where the second sermon is mute towards the zulm. Right now, we find some zalim administrations are promoting the Sufis officially. Because they find that some of these people are mute towards the zulm of the zalimeen. So this is the best official brand of Islam that need to be supported officially. Because they are silent over the zulm of the zalimeen. That's what differentiates a Shia from Imam Ali alayhi salam from all the rest. Where we are the ones who never let go of the zulm of any zalim. We care about our souls. We care about every Muslim on the planet. I remember Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayhi used to say, "Ma hamiye hamiye mazlumane jahanin." Not just the Shias, not just the Sunnis, not just the Christians, not just the Jews, all the humans. Every human who is oppressed, we are here to support him. Whether it's a Buddhist person who's oppressed, whether he's a Jew who's oppressed, whether he's a Christian who's oppressed, whether he's a Muslim who's oppressed, whether he's an agnostic who's oppressed. We are here to oppose all the zalimeen and support all the oppressed. Look at the greatest value system that we enjoy. This is Islam. This is the Islam of Ahlul Bayt, that we stand against the zulm of every zalim, against every Muslim. So we find that Eid prayers in Islam, like the Jumu'ah prayers, is also a political, social worship of Islam. Somebody likes it or not, somebody believes it or not, who cares? We are teachings of Islam are not left at the mercy of people, this Mr. So-and-so accepting it or liking it or not. Whether you believe it or not, that's the way it is. Isn't that right? That's the way Islam is. It's not left up to the mercy of people accepting it or not accepting it. Who cares about people's acceptance? That's the way God revealed and commanded to his prophet, and that's the way it's going to be till the day of judgment. Somebody likes it or not, that's up to him. Let him be the way he wants to lead his life. So in the Islam of Amir al-Mu'mineen, in the Islam of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in the Islam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the Eid prayers, the second sermon, is political. Somebody likes it or not, that's the way Islam is. We are here to reinvent the wheel. Isn't that right? So Imam Ridha alayhi salam was not allowed, because Mamun was smart enough to understand that Salatul Eid is also a political fariza of Islam, which some of the Shias still don't understand that much, because they are going and praying behind those of the Imams who never talk about any siyasi fariza in the second sermon of Eid. Isn't that pathetic? What are we waiting for? Allah to send down another 124,000 prophets so we open up our eyes? Allah sending another 12 Imams for us? Is that what we are waiting for? What else are we waiting for? Isn't that enough? That's the way some people are. They don't want to open up their eyes. Some people don't want to make a change. So we find, and the eighth evidence of our research scholars have mentioned, that Imam was forced and never pleased Because this is used by some of the people who are putting up the taghuts. Yeah, Imam Rizal also became Waliul Ahad of Mamun Rashid, the taghut of his time. So what's wrong if we support the taghut? Am I right? Imam Hassan also did the sulh with the zalimin, with the zalim of his time, taghut of his time. So what if we also do the sulh? So why don't you mention the whole thing? Then Imam Hassan al-Salam had always said that وَاللَّهِ لَوْ وَجَدْتُ أَنصَارًا لَقَاتَلْتُهُ لَيْلِي وَنَهَارِي. Why did you mention that as well? Why are you telling the incomplete information to the masses? In the name of Imam Hassan, this is also khiyanat. This is also breach of the covenant towards Allah, that you misinform and disinform the masses by using the names of Masumeen. So now Al-Hasan himself has said, I swear to God, if I had found companions, I would have fought against him day and night. Against Muawiyah. The same Imam Hassan has been interpreted by some, that he was inclined towards sulh and truce, and Imam Hussein was inclined towards war. So we are Hassani Shias, we are not Husseini Shias. Look at what the Prophet was saying. Look at the deviations people are doing into the religion to justify their evil practices towards the taghuts. Because, you know, saving another life and in front of the taghut, that's the rule of the thumb. That's the rule number one. We need to save our lives. In order to save our lives, let's try to justify anything that come in the way so that at least our life is saved in front of the taghuts. That's the rule of the thumb. We have to save our life. Who said that's the rule of the thumb? We are here to save our lives in Islam as long as our values are protected. When it comes to Islam, we can sacrifice our lives and protect our religion just like Imam Hussain did, just like Imam Hassan did, who came out to fight against Muawiyah. And 95% plus of his army joined Muawiyah, including the commander-in-chief, Shia commander-in-chief of his army. And some even said that to Muawiyah, if you want, we can hand over Hassan ibn Ali to you. Why didn't you mention that as well? When you talk Imam Hassan was inclined towards sulh wrongfully, also say that he came out for war and he was forced to do the sulh because people never supported him. Why do you say that? Why don't you complete your sentence? Why are you incompletely mentioning Imam Hassan al-Islam? For your personal agenda? That's the way some people are. Misinterpreting and spinning. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam, when he used to come back from the Salatul Jummah, so Imam Ridha was never allowed even once. Our Imams were never allowed, you know, we don't find any Imam having the government after Imam Hassan alayhi salam's very short government spanning few months only. After Imam Hassan alayhi salam, none of the Imams had the opportunity to do the government, to rule. Isn't that right? So none of the Imams were ever given any chance by the Taghut rulers to lead a single Jumu'ah prayers in their life. None of the Imams were allowed by the Taghut rulers to lead a single Jumu'ah prayers in their life. Again, for the same reason, because Jumu'ah is a political duty. Why would they allow? Are they silly? To jeopardize their rule and let it be announced in front of masses that they are illegitimate rulers? They are dumb. Isn't it right? So Imam Ridha alayhi salam was no different. He was never allowed in his life to lead a single Jumu'ah prayers in his entire life by Mamun Rashid. And Imam, when he used to come back from the Jumu'ah prayers, tired, he used to seek his own death from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to pray for his death from Allah. It was intolerable for the Imam to even tolerate the rule of Taghut and all what he's doing. It's not tolerable for the Imam. That's the eighth evidence why he was never willing and he was forced for all that. So we find that Imam alayhi salam, so we can easily find the reason why the walayat of the Imam is considered to be that important. When we look at the incident when Imam is taken by Mamun's people and he reaches the city of Nishapur and he informs the people about the famous hadith that we call Silsilatul Zahab, chain of gold, because it's narrated from the Imam, narrates from his own father, who is another infallible. He narrates from his own father, which is another infallible person, till they reach Imam Ali. Imam Ali is narrating from the Prophet. Prophet is narrating from Jibreel, the archangel Jibreel, who is also infallible, and Jibreel is telling from Allah. So the entire chain of narrators is infallibles. There is no slightest doubt in the authenticity of this hadith, that in Ilmur Hadith, the knowledge of the hadith, this hadith is dubbed as Silsilatul Dhahab, chain of gold. And which you must have heard already several times from the scholars. Very famous hadith, you know, Kalimatullah ilaha illallah hisni. The kalima, the word of La ilaha illallah is my fort, Allah said. Man dakhala hisni amina min adhabi. Whoever enters my fort got secured from my punishment. So La ilaha illallah's kalima and word is the fortress of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all strive to enter the fort of Allah so we get secured from Allah's punishments and torments. Isn't that right? But then Imam added, فَأَخْرَجَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الْعِمَارِيَّ. He brought his head out from the imariyya, which is the kind of a special saddle which used to be put and tied up on the back of the camel, where a person is sitting inside it. So he brought his head out of that, and Imam added that بِشَرْتِهَا وَشُرُوتِهَا وَأَنَا مِنْ شُرُوتِهَا. That means certainly the kalima of La ilaha illallah is a fort of Allah, but with its condition and conditions, and I am one of its conditions. So the walayat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam is a condition. The governance of Imam Ridha alayhi salam is a condition upon which your tawheed is accepted. Let's not even go to the prayers and fastings, isn't there? We're not there yet. We're not talking about the furuddin, the branches of the religion. Right now we're talking the imamat, which is part of the usuluddin, roots of the religion. Isn't that right? We're not done with that. We are discussing about imamat and walayat, the rule of Ahlul Bayt. That's part of the usuluddin, roots of the religion. Don't even mention your prayers and fastings yet. So even your tawheed is not acceptable. You don't even enter into the fort of Allah's security unless and until you believe and practice the concept of walayat. You do what it takes to support the concept. Your actions should speak louder that you are a follower of the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, the Imam of your time. So Imam, if he's going to come to make the house clean, we don't make the house dirty. If Imam is here to come and get rid of all forms of zulm and oppressions and oppose the taghuts, we don't butter up the taghut and become an obstacle in the way of the Imam. So tomorrow when Imam need to fight the taghuts, he need to fight against us as well. Because we are also equally becoming an obstacle in his goal, which is establishment of divine justice, divine social justice system. Isn't it right? Some people are an obstacle in their way. Some of the Islamic centers are an obstacle in their way. Isn't that right? So this is how much we understand the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The reason why the walayat of Faqih is not digested by some is because the walayat of Ali alayhi salam was not digested by the same person. Honestly so. If he understood the implications of the concept of the walayat of Imam Ali on his everyday life, he would never challenge the walayat of the faqih in the time of ghaybat. He failed to understand the implications of the concept today on his own life. What difference it makes when I accept Imam Ali to be my wali and mawla? Is it just business as usual? I am doing what I am doing, what I feel like doing. I can decide on my own, spin and twist the Imam Ridha alayhi salam's personality and policies, spin and twist Ali ibn Yaqtin's behavior towards Harun al-Rashid, to justify my policy towards the Tawhid, by forgetting the fact the same Imam Qasim alayhi salam, who is allowing Ali ibn Yaqtin. First of all, he took the permission ahead from Imam Qasim alayhi salam, right? He took the izn. We have the izn in Arabic means the prior permission, that you take before the action. There's a difference between izn and ijaza in Arabic. We have two words. Ijaza means a permission that you can take even after the action, where izn in Arabic means a permission which has to be prior to the action. First of all, Ali ibn Yaqeen took a permission from the wali of his time, Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. Did you take permission from the wali of your time today? Or his deputy? The answer to that is no. Then who gave you the license to butter up the tahoot? And to support the tahoot and work for the tahoots? This is how some people are. And the same Imam Kadhim alayhi salam who did not allow Ali ibn Yaqeen, who allowed Ali ibn Yaqeen, the same Imam Kadhim did not allow Safwan ibn Mahran al-Jammal. See, both are living the same times. Ali ibn Yaqeen is alive in the same time, under the same Imam, and Safwan ibn Mahran is also another companion of Imam Kadhim, the same Masoom, living in the same time. Imam is allowing Ali ibn Yaqeen and did not allow Safwan ibn Jammal. There has to be some reason why the Imam is having this, you know, this hukum for him and this hukum for him. We need to understand that. So we adjust our behaviors towards the Sharia and not try to bend the Sharia to fit our material interests. So we find that is easy to, it's very easy to play the blame game and blame it on shaitan. That's the biggest blame primarily falls on the human himself, because there are humans who are not heeding to the divine warnings, and there are humans who are paying attention to the satanic deceptions. Ya ibn nasa kulluhum zamanan, isn't it right? Imam Ridha alayhi salam recited these ashar, which are actually from Hazrat Abdul Muttalib alayhi salam. So Imam Ridha was reciting these ashar. Ya ibn nasa kulluhum zamanan, wa ma li zamanina aibun siwana. Everybody finds defects in the times that, you know, the situation is bad. The times are bad. Zamana bura ho gaya hai. Times are not bad, not suitable. Wa mal zamanana aibun siwana. And there is no defect in the times, in the situations. The defect is actually in us. We humans are defective. Na'ibu zamanana wal aibu fina. Law nataqa zamanu bina hajana. We call the times to be bad. These are bad times. Well, what are you talking about? Times are never bad. People are good and bad. Times are never bad. So we try to find defects and faults in the times, and we ignore our own faults. لَوْ نَتَقَ الزَّمَانُ بِنَا حَجَانَا. If the times would be able to speak, it would have been making fun of us, basically laughing at us. إِنَّ الذِّئْبَ يَتْرُكُ لَحْمَ ذِئْبٍ. A wolf doesn't consume the meat of the fellow wolf. Do you ever find a wolf consuming the meat of the fellow wolf? Never. It's part of Alam al-Takween. And in Alam al-Takween there is zero disobedience towards Allah. They do what they are commanded. A wolf is never going to consume the meat and flesh of a fellow wolf. وَيَأْكُلُ Imam Ridha alayhi salam says, وَيَأْكُلُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا عَيَانًا. And some of us are eating others. That's the way the humans are, isn't that right? Some of the humans are eating, consuming others. Killing other humans. Whereas a wolf is not ready to kill his fellow wolf. But there are humans who are ready to kill the fellow humans. And not just that, but they are ready to kill the best of the humans. Didn't the Holy Prophet say that whoever wants to look at the most beloved person among the peoples of earth and people among the dwellers of the heaven, and the most beloved person among the dwellers of earth, he should look at Hussein. Isn't Imam Hussein the most beloved person among all the dwellers of heavens and earth combined? Now look at the behavior that the people did. How they killed Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family members. Yakulu ba'zana ba'zan ayana. So we find Imam Saddad alayhi salam rightfully saying, as always, that Allah had commanded, Allah had made our love wajib. قُلْ لَا أَسَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Isn't that right? That's what is there in Quran. So Imam Sajjad was saying, Allah made our love to be wajib. In other words, if Allah had made our enmity wajib, what the nation of the Prophet had done towards Imam Hussein, they could not do it worse than that. This is what they did after Allah made the love of Ahlul Bayt wajib. Look at how they did towards Imam Hussein, the son of the Prophet. That's how they did. And now we find that, not just that, but we find that after the shahadat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the punishments that were given to the Imam and his family did not end after the shahadat. The punishments and hardships are continuing. We find the caravan is walking towards Kufa. And now the women have gathered, the men have gathered, and Hazrat Zainab and Hazrat Umm Kulsoom and the children of Ahlul Bayt are now walking through the streets of Kufa, in the bazaar of Kufa, where these people have gathered to see the daughters of Ali ibn Ali and Fatima alayhum as-salam without hijab. They have gathered to see the family of the Prophet without hijab. And the women started to cry over Ahlul Bayt. And Hazrat Umm Kulsoom said, تَقْتُلُنَا رِجَالُكُمْ وَتَبْكِي عَلَيْنَا نِسَاؤُكُمْ. That means, in other words, your men are the ones who come and who kill us, and then your women start crying over us? I mean, you are the ones who killed us, isn't that right? Your men came to kill us, and now you guys are crying over us? What are you trying to prove, in other words? That's at least how crooked some people were in Kufa. Isn't that right? So now they were trying to distribute, they distributed the dates of sadaqah. إِنَّ الصَّدَقَةَ عَلَيْنَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ. Sadaqah is haram on us. Sadaqah of course is haram on the Ahlul Bayt. So they took away the sadaqah dates from the hand of the child. Women started to distribute the dates of sadaqah to the children of Ahlul Bayt, which is haram on Ahlul Bayt. They were standing on the rooftops and the streets watching all this situation, what Ahlul Bayt are going through. And finally, Umm Habiba comes forward, and she used to be the servant, the maid in the house of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in the house of Hazrat Zainab. And she came forward. She could not recognize Hazrat Zainab, of course. And she came forward and said to Hazrat Zainab that the dates that I have given is not of sadaqah. This is the date of nazar. I did a nazar. And Hazrat Zainab asked from her, what was your nazar? And she said, my nazar was that, may Allah give me the opportunity to go for the ziyarat of my Mawla Imam Hussein and the ziyarat of Hazrat Zainab. When Hazrat Zainab heard that, she said, no need to go, because Allah Zainab has already arrived in your town. That means no need to go to the city of Medina all the way, because Zainab already came to your town, she said once, in other words. So she inquired, where is my Zainab? I did not see, I didn't know when did she come. And Hazrat Zainab said to Umm Habiba, if you would see Zainab, will you recognize her? And she replied, why not? I will certainly recognize my great lady Zainab. Why wouldn't I recognize her? You know, of course she used to live in her house. And Hazrat Zainab, the narration says, she said to Umm Habiba that I am Zainab. She introduced herself, and then Umm Habiba looked at Hazrat Zainab, she could not recognize her. Of course, I will still give a margin to Umm Habiba, because she never saw Hazrat Zainab without hijab. I will still accept it, because Umm Habiba had never seen Hazrat Zainab tied up in the ropes. Because Umm Habiba had never seen Hazrat Zainab coming like this as an asir and captive in the bazaar of Kufa.
there are a bunch of people are watching towards these ladies. So she said to Hazrat Zainab, my Zainab had a sign. She never used to get separated from her brother Hussein. And when Hazrat Zainab heard that statement, she pointed towards the head of Imam Hussein, which was being carried over on top of the spear. She said, she pointed towards the head. That's the head of Hussein. Zainab still did not get separated from her brother.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين يا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين.